I will baptize you, but the one that cometh will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We know that to be Jesus. So from the beginning of time, humankind has been fascinated about fire. And we've been talking about fire for the last couple of weeks, and with all the wildfires and different things, the house fires in Tallahassee and Monticello. Thank you, firefighters, for what you do and have done and continue to do. But we found about fire that it can produce both heat and light, both of which can aid us in our daily lives in a variety of ways. From the time we have discovered fire to today's use of heat and fire, we've learned to use heat and light for lasers that heal and for bombs that kill. For fire that cooks our food and heats our home. Fire that burns down homes and ravages our forests. And we both adore and fear fire. We adore what it can do for us under our control. We fear the ways it can escape our control or be used negatively that lies outside of our control. Control is a big thing for us. Now, there's always been now lately different things. There's issues now about forestry doing things and doing how try to help prevent forest fires and so forth with controlled burns and stuff. And that's good as long as we controlled it. But if you remember a few years ago right here, the controlled burn got out of hand and burned the little town of East Point. You remember that? Not long ago. But we have learned in science, I love science, that benefits of fire far outweighs the risk. At least we'd like to think so. And we know enough about combustion to know that it affects our sometimes good and sometimes not so good. But we feel in control enough that our fire, we don't need to see it to know that it's there. Now, we may have, some people have oil burners. We had coal and oil burners in Pennsylvania in wintertime for heat. Some people still use a little bit of kerosene around our area, different things. And we know that that's a good way to heat our homes, but we don't think about the fire that it produces. As long as it's safely maintained in the furnace or the heater, we can go about our daily lives, dependent on its power and unworried about its threat. And it's easy to have faith when you're controlling the outcomes of things. Amen? In fact, in many ways, we have more faith in science than we do in God. Because when it comes to the Holy Spirit's fire, something that lies far out of our control, we, the church, back away. Yeah, we're sure we might get burned. So, but why are we so afraid of that source that fuels our faith, empowers our mission, lights up our lives, and sets our hearts on fire? God is a consuming fire, the scriptures say. So why in the super technologically fire age of innovation do we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ avoid relying on the Holy Spirit? We spent 17 weeks in Holy Spirit school, and I think most of you now know a little bit about or developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when you develop a relationship with Jesus, you don't get him in pieces, you get him all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because his spirit is the life source and energy, its motivation, and it, more importantly, his guidance. Now, some might say, we as humans have a fear of what is non-practical or non-logical, and some might say we fear what lies outside of our control, and after all, it's hard to surrender your spirit to God you do not know or cannot see. Some fear in God is general. And if people have been raised with a fear of judgment and punishment and unsolved and emotional wounds and words or false definition of who God is, that happens a lot out there. And the people that don't know where they can find the answers to these problems and different things, they're miserable. If you don't see God as guide, comfort, and a source of empowerment, why would you trust the Holy Spirit? And more than any of these, I think what we fear most is what human beings always feared most is change. There was a famous phrase not long ago in the church. Well, we never done it that way, preacher. I don't know if we can do that or not. We've never done it that way before. We always fear change. And fire, no matter what its source or how it's employed, always initiates change. Is it getting hot in here? It should be, because the Holy Spirit and the fire that's in your belly for the love of God gives you that warmth and love. You can feel the loving arms of Jesus around you and hold you. Change makes us uncomfortable, though, no doubt. Human nature, times have changed. Human nature has never changed. And the Holy Spirit is all about changing. Changing in all kinds of wonderful ways. Not only our environment, our culture, our church, its traditions, but changing us individually. You see, fire burns away resistance and light reveals truth. You can't hide in the midst of a fire. You can't get cold feet in the heat of the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that does the convicting, not the preacher, not the teacher. No, it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. Now, we do know enough about fire to know what it can do. And we in the church know enough about the fire of the Holy Spirit to know that once it touches down, everything including you and me will change. It's no wonder sometimes, though, the church suffers from that phobia of not wanting to change. Well, human beings fear change more than anything else. And we learn to fear fire. Many of our churches today, the fear of fire has progressed from simple residence through a mere caution or a hesitance. Now we've come down with pure anxiety disorder when it comes to the Holy Spirit fire. I don't know why, but that we fear any more about the Holy Spirit and why we do. The Holy Spirit fire might occur, it might not occur, but it does come. And the Holy Spirit will never come to some place that he's not wanted. He'll never force himself upon you. Like a patient fearing life-saving an operation, many times today we just don't want to take that risk of an operation or something like that. We don't want to rock the boat, if you would. We feel good and comfortable just the way we are. We want things to change. We want our churches to grow. We want our churches to flourish. We want to be the major center of our community. And we want to be a powerful force for good for the people around us. After all, the church is a hospital for sinners. But we don't want to go through what it takes to experience that vast kind of change. The kind of change that doesn't just change our church, but it changes us. Because I think we learned a little song a long time ago, and it kind of went like this. It's in our hymnal. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. And then maybe one that you remember as a child. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. So simple, but so true. So if the church is on fire, it means that we are too. And we won't be able to control it. We won't be able to hinder it. And once God touches down, things will change. And we will be a house on fire. Bethel means house of God. Bethel, a church on fire. And we are. Some of us just don't know it, but we are. It's small numbers, but we are. We got a big community we need to witness to, but we are. This little church is on fire for God. We know about the Holy Spirit. We know it comes from Scripture. We know it comes from Jesus. We know it comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the Gospels, and from what we saw happen in the book of Acts as we celebrate the birthday of the church. We know it in our great awakenings. We've had some great awakenings in our country. We need another one, and I think one's coming. In Holy Spirit movements that have changed entire communities. The revival that took place in Asbury and some of our other college campuses, including Florida State, in the past year or so. We know it's resurrected faith within people, formerly without hope. And movements that grew churches in regions where Christians continue to be persecuted. Not only around the world, there's Christians persecuted in our own country all the time. We know it in those who have had their emotional wounds healed and their souls put to rest, the peace that passes all understanding. Excuse me. We know it in the eyes of those who are passing on. We know it in the light that it brings to others. I think we all know that it can change lives of those addicted or mourning or grieving alone. We know people that have life has been changed because of their relationship with God. We know it in worship, when the one moment when you let down your guard and you feel the touch of God upon your shoulder, upon your heart, you can feel that power coursing through your body and the change within your spirit. We are body, mind, and spirit. You know the power of the Holy Spirit and what it can do. The question is this for all of us. Will you allow that Holy Spirit of fire to live and breathe in you? The scriptures that I read just a minute ago is the story of witness. It's a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit ascending that day by the Jordan River, a power that would be available to all who would turn to God and accept that Holy Spirit of fire. Here's the best part. When the Holy Spirit fire descends upon Jesus, fluttering with flames like a dove's wing, bathing him in glorious light, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." After that moment, that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus would go on to start a movement that could not be stopped and cannot be tamed. A fiery kind of movement that would change the world and countless people's lives. Something similar would happen at Pentecost, when the fiery flames of light would touch down upon all who prayed that time when they were in that room, igniting them to a ministry that would change the world. We know how it changes lives. Something similar would happen in all of our lives if we would let it. Change the entire world, the entire Christian church throughout the world. We talk about it in the Apostles' Creed, the one holy Catholic Church. That's not Roman Catholic Church, although Roman Catholic Church is a denomination like Methodist. They're talking about the holy Catholic Church. That's a word that simply means universal. The universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be found all over the world. That might be scary to think about that, but might be out of control, maybe. I don't know. But here's the secret to empowering the church is not how much you can do, but how much you will allow God to do through you. That's what people are doing now. People are helping people, whether it's in California or Nashville, North Carolina. It's things that we can do. We can propel the Word of God and the love of God through each and every one of us. That's the secret. So I'll close with this, and the simple question is there fire in the house? Not physical fire, but fire in the house of God. We are, in these bodies, a temple of the Holy Spirit, temple of God. God lives in you, and He wants to connect with you in many, many ways and give you all the wisdom and grace that you need.